This is Solidarity News on Radio Labour.
This is a Radio Labour special report recorded on Friday, December 9th, 2016. I'm Mark Boulanger. In the report this week, International Labour calls for more jobs for women by building care economies. A major conference of rail and road transport workers plans global organizing campaigns. How a corporation is undermining public education in the developing world. And the Labour Start report about union events around the world. This is Radio Labour. The international labor movement says more jobs for women can be created if caring economies are developed. Radio Labor senior correspondent C. Marie Ainsborough has a report.
A report by the United Nations International Labor Organization shows that women are falling behind in their struggle for equality in the world of work. The report, entitled Women at Work, Trends 2016, examined 178 countries. It concluded that, at the global level, the employment gender gap closed by only 0.6% since 1995. This is despite a significant rise in the number of women graduating from higher education. The report also points out that women work longer hours per day in both paid and unpaid work. On average, women work at least 2.5 times more in unpaid household and care work than men. The ILO report confirmed that women around the world still earn on average 77% of what men earn. The wage gap, according to the report, is related directly to the undervaluation of work done by women and the average wages in female-dominated sectors or occupations. Other factors contributing to the wage gap is the need for women to take career breaks and to take on additional responsibilities such as childcare or elder care. The loss of income women experience adds up to poverty in old age, according to the report. Women earn 10% less in pensions than men when both national and employment-based pension plans are considered. According to the International Trade Union Confederation, the key to getting more women into paid employment is to build a care economy. The ITUC is the organization which represents national labor centers at the world level. Sharon Burrow is the ITUC's general secretary.
Investing in the care economy. 2% of GDP, part of that social protection floor. You can actually invest in the jobs that will free women to participate in the labour market, that will actually engage women in jobs, in care, that will actually enable women to be freed from the oppression of private care, where it's actually been taken into the home and is so much, in terms of domestic work, a symbol of oppression. 2% in 7 countries, you get 21 million jobs, formal jobs. That's worth having.
More than 170 delegates from 84 unions around the world are participating in a conference of road and rail transport workers in Brussels, December 5th to 9th. The conference is organized by the International Transport Workers Federation. The ITF represents more than 5 million workers who are members of unions operating in 145 countries. The conference is being used as an opportunity to discuss how road and transport workers around the world can work together to support their bargaining and organizing campaigns. One of the unions attending the conference in Brussels is the International Brotherhood of Teamsters. The union has 1.4 million members in the United States and Canada. It has been using the conference to highlight its campaign to organize employees of XPO Logistics, which is one of the world's largest providers of transportation and logistics services. James Hoffa is the general president of the Teamsters Union, known as the Teamsters.
We're here meeting with the ITF and our colleagues from the United States, from the UK, from France, and from all over Europe to talk about the problem of organizing XPO. XPO has become basically a company that is everywhere and basically exploiting workers. And we're trying to devise a strategy. We're getting tremendous input, collective input, as to how we should address this problem and how we should go about organizing them and fighting the threat that they have to workers. We're basically saying we can do this together. And we're going to keep the pressure on this company. We're already organizing them in the United States. We've been very successful in organizing 5 and 6 locations, some warehouses, some trucking operations, but it's only the beginning, and we can do it collectively if we have the support of all of our colleagues across the world.
As governments around the world implement austerity measures, many of them are turning to for-profit companies to provide education. In the United States, for example, the push is on to create so-called for-profit charter schools. In the developing world, profit-making educational initiatives are being implemented by a corporation called Bridge International Academies. The company operates in countries such as India, Kenya, and Uganda. On November 4th, the company was told by the Supreme Court in Uganda to shut its 60 operations in the country because it did not follow the country's educational guidelines. I talked to Angelo Gavrilatos about Bridge International Academies. Mr. Gavrilatos is a projects director for Education International, the global union for teachers and other education workers. I asked him about the company and how it was funded.
Bridge International Academies is one of the more aggressive actors in the space of for-profit private education in the world. And as you said in your introduction, they are currently operating in Kenya, Nigeria, India, and until recently, Uganda. They receive support from significant actors, not least of which is the World Bank, the UK's Department for International Development, the global edu business Pearson, and billionaires such as Facebook's Zuckerberg and Bill Gates. So they receive some considerable support from significant institutions and individuals globally.
How does Bridge International Academies operate? What does it do?
Well, their business plan, their business model, if you like, is predicated upon the employment of unqualified staff, in the main high school graduates. They teach a highly scripted curriculum, which is read in some instances word for word by their teaching staff, and their curriculum is generally not approved by the authorities, and they deliver this in very, very poor facilities. So it's a business plan aimed at maximising profit whilst undermining the right of every child to quality education.
Now here with his report about union events around the world is Labour Star correspondent Derek Blackadder.
Here's a small sample of the more than 2,500 stories our volunteers collected last week. Our top stories section included links to news about the attacks on a local union leader by U.S. President-elect Trump, a huge victory for brewery workers in Australia, and the recent wave of insurgent labour activism in China. We had news of strikes and lockouts in dozens of countries. Here are just a few highlights. Rice mill workers in Pakistan were striking for a living wage. Kenyan nurses were facing dismissal for striking after their employer reneged on a wage agreement, while doctors escalated their wage dispute into a full-blown walkout. Judicial workers in Malawi were supported by judges as they downed tools in a dispute over working conditions. Venezuelan steel workers ended their strike with a victory last week. Casual day labor workers in India passed the 100-day mark in their walkout as they continued their demands for regularization, while in New Delhi, ambulance workers also walked for the same reason. Libyan airport workers struck after they had not been paid for months. Cleaners at a Spanish airport caused chaos when they bumped up their wage dispute. And Sri Lankan dockers stopped work to protest the outsourcing of their jobs. Our top working women stories included coverage of the continuing push for domestic violence leave in Australia and in Canada, working conditions in women-majority workplaces in Burma, and the release of a new film about the lives of garment workers in India. The Health and Safety Newswire, we run in cooperation with Hazards magazine, carried stories to hundreds of union websites around the world about the safety issues behind a strike at a plastics factory in Burma, union demands that forced a change in the helicopters used to transport offshore oil workers in Norway, and a protest over working conditions so sexist that they had physical effects on workers at a lingerie shop in Australia. Currently, LabourStart is running 7 online actions. Take just a few seconds out of your day and join thousands of trade unionists around the world in helping workers make their lives better, or even help save those lives. This is Derek Blackadder from LabourStart, reporting for Radio Labour.
And that's it. International labour news you can use. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Labour. I'm Art Boulanger. Thank you for listening. And remember, it's all about global solidarity.